Hey, Jared Morris here. If you know anything about Rainmaker Digital and Copyblogger, you may know that we produce incredible live events. Well, some would say that we produce incredible live events as an excuse to throw great parties, but that's another story. We've got another one coming up this October in Denver. It's called Digital Commerce Summit, and it is entirely focused on giving you the smartest ways to create and sell digital products and services. You can find out more at rainmaker.fm/summit. That's rainmaker.fm/summit. We'll be talking about Digital Commerce Summit in more detail as it gets closer. But for now, I'd like to let a few attendees from our past events speak for us.
For me, it's just hearing from the experts. I mean, this is my first industry event, so it's awesome to learn new stuff and also get confirmation that we're not doing it completely wrong where I work.
The best part of the conference for me is being able to mingle with people and realize that you have connections with everyone here. It feels like LinkedIn Live. I also love the parties after each day, being able to talk to the speakers, talk to other people over here. First time, people have been here before.
I think the best part of the conference for me is understanding how I can service my customers a little more easily. Seeing all the different facets and components of various enterprises then helps me pick the best tools.
Hey, we agree. One of the biggest reasons we host a conference every year is so that we can learn how to service our customers, people like you, more easily. And here are just a few more words from folks who have come to our past live events.
It's really fun. I think it's a great mix of beginner information and advanced information, so I'm really learning a lot and having a lot of fun.
Conference is great, especially because it's a single track conference where you don't get distracted by like which session should I go to and am I missing something.
I mean, the training and everything, the speakers have been awesome, but I think the coolest aspect for me has been connecting with both people who are putting it on and then the other attendees.
So that's it for now. There's a lot more to come on Digital Commerce Summit, and I really hope to see you there in October. Again, to get all the details and the very best deal on tickets, head over to rainmaker.fm/summit. That's rainmaker.fm/summit.
A lot of people aspire to write a book. Maybe you do, but you probably know it's a complex process. Zero to Book is documenting the journey from start to finish so you can learn how to take your book from an idea to a published product. Listen in as best-selling author Jeff Goins helps Pamela Wilson go from zero to book.
This is Pamela Wilson from Zero to Book. I am here as usual with Jeff Goins. Hi, Jeff.
Hello, Pamela.
And we're very honored to have Dave Chesson with us. Dave has a website called kindlepreneur.com. And this is, again, a place where I just have to thank you, Jeff, for connecting me with these people who you know. I know you and Dave have spoken before, and you recommended Dave and his work as a way for me to incorporate more SEO-type terms into my book title, my book chapter titles and all of that. And that will help people to find it when they're searching on Amazon. So I'm really excited about what we're going to cover today. Dave, I know you want to spell out how this works. And I know we're going to use my book as an example. So can't wait to get started.
Me too. And thank you for having me here.
Thanks so much. Now, can you tell us very briefly how you got into this business, what your background is?
Absolutely. Well, I'm actually still active duty military, and I just got orders that sent me all the way to the other side of the world without my family. And that kind of caused me to sit and think, you know, what is my definition for success? And when I looked at it, it wasn't being deployed and it wasn't, you know, going on to become an admiral or something like that. And that's when I really needed to look for an exit strategy and find something that I was more in love with, you know, something that I would look forward to getting up and working on. And I started to discover online marketing. Now, for me, it wasn't writing or self-publishing or anything. What I enjoyed was I enjoyed looking at the analytics that were out there, the things that the software and some of the services out there gave you, numbers about people and what they're looking for and what they're wanting to do, and then finding where there's a need. You know, so, you know, for example, I got into looking at Google, and Google will tell you how many people per month type something in. Well, just taking that, you can find that there are pain points that people have. There are things that people are looking to learn, to grow from. And so I started building websites that would rank for that would give people the answers. And you know, the online marketing career kind of increased from there.
So it started with websites, but then you moved into doing this for books. And so many of the basic SEO concepts, it sounds like, kind of transfer over.
That was, yes, that transition right there was really important for me because I had all these websites that were gaining all this traffic, but you know, I was only making money from Google AdSense or, you know, Amazon affiliate links and things like that. And it was only amounting to like $50 to $100 a month per website. It was a lot of work to get those things created only to get, you know, $50 or $100. Not complaining, but I knew I needed to find something else. And that's when, you know, I had this idea that, well, I need to create a product. But being stationed in Korea, which is where I was at the time, I can't create a physical thing. So somebody had mentioned to me, well, why not write a book? And I was like, look, I wrote a website. Who's gonna want to go to my website, click a link, and then go buy a book when I have the information for free? But you'd be amazed how many people would be absolutely willing to spend $2.99 or even $9.99 to have all the information laid out systematically, you know, helping them with their pain points, teaching them what they need to know, and, you know, kind of an A to Z guide through it all, instead of having to click around online looking for the next step and where they should go next and so forth. So when I did that, I created this really nice stream of traffic that brought in a really great side income. But there was a really pivotal point for me when I had this aha moment of, well, Amazon's kind of like Google. It's a search engine, right? People will go to Amazon and they're looking for something. They're looking for a product. In this case, sometimes that product is really just an answer. So if your book addresses their question and shows up in front of them first, they're more likely to click and buy your book, just like people do with Google, where if your website shows up first, they're most likely to click on your website. So when I started to see it this way, I started to approach Amazon like Google, and I started learning some incredible information about how it works, the differences between the two. They're pretty similar, but there are some pretty strong differences as well.
So one question I have then is, I know as a website owner, one of the things we always struggle with is the fact that Google is constantly changing their algorithms. So what I wonder is, do you see the same thing with Amazon?
No, actually, Amazon's search engine, they've got a name for it. It's called A9. It's really, it's not as hardcore as Google. Google started to learn back in the mid-2000s that there were people who will really do some crazy stuff to influence, right, the results. Amazon, on the other hand, kind of looks at, well, what makes us more money, right? Because they're dealing with a product. So if what they're doing right now is making them more money, then customers are happier, they're leaving reviews, they have better metrics to figure out if everything's still fine. So they're not as crazy as Google is, and really authors don't have to worry about major changes. But I'll always put a caveat in there. Please don't do anything that is contrary to the user experience, because, you know, having the Amazon customers happy is the most important part.
Right. That makes a lot of sense. And Jeff recommended you because, Jeff, I guess you worked with Dave to optimize some of your books, right?
Right. Well, we're working on that right now. And Dave's done some great work for people like Pat Flynn. He's done it for himself, most notably. I think one of the things that you should be thinking about if you're going to hire somebody to help you, you know, market your website or your book is, you know, have you done this for yourself? And a lot of people haven't. And have you done this for other people? And he's done both. And once his active duty's up, he will be a permanent member of the Nashville establishment, like we are. Mm-hmm. And what I think is fascinating about what Dave does that I wish more authors did is think about the marketing while you're writing the book. I mean, that's just the bottom line is, there are smart things that you can do, smart research things that you can do, like we're doing right now. Asking, well, what kind of words and phrases should we put in the books and the chapter titles? Maybe include in the title or subtitle that are terms that people are already searching for. And I don't think you have to necessarily compromise the quality or the message, but it just helps to go in, informed. When it's time to promote your book, you know that people are already searching for these terms. And Dave is literally the smartest guy I know about this. And so as I'm working on a new book myself, we're talking about it, I'm going, should I use this term or this term? And, you know, what are some things that I can be thinking about to, you know, that people are searching for that is in the niche, you know, as part of the demographic that I'm trying to reach, that I can be mindful of including in the book as I'm writing it.
It makes a lot of sense. And it's right under the wire for me because I'm in the design phase at this point. So if we're going to make these changes, time is ticking and I have to make them now. So one question I have for you, Dave, is where is it most important to insert the keyword phrases that you're targeting? Is it in the title? Is it in the chapter titles? Is it within the text of the book, in the marketing itself, or all of the above?
Well, that's a really good question. It's not so much that one needs to do everything, okay? What you need to do is enough to show Amazon that your book should be listed for that particular term somewhere. The most important part, though, is that you prove to Amazon that you're going to make them more money because of that, okay? So that first part is just being discovered by the algorithm. And then that second part that I said is proving to the algorithm that you should be ranked higher. So those are two very different strategies. Going to the first one, it does help the algorithm believe, and when I say algorithm, I mean Amazon search engine. It does help Amazon's search engine to figure out that you should rank for something when you do have the word in the title or subtitle, when you choose that particular phrase or word in your 7 keyword choices. And those 7 keyword choices are when you go to publish your book on Amazon KDP, Amazon will literally ask you, choose 7 keywords. And so that's where you'd put that there.
And those are actual words or are they keyword phrases?
They can be words or phrases. You can go long tail, you can go short tail. That's up to you. But I would think of them as the phrases or words that you would expect people to type into Amazon and find your book and say, this is what I was searching for.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So if it is a one word, then great. But most of the time, you're probably looking at 2 to 4 words or so.
Right. So keyword phrases are important when you're registering your book with Amazon, basically putting it into their database. And then what else? I know a couple of episodes back, I mentioned to Jeff that I had heard this tip from Joanna Penn that you should just use the search bar in Amazon to search for your book's topic and see what the suggested searches were. And so when I plugged in content marketing, I saw just from using that simple search bar technique that a lot of people were looking for content marketing strategy, which is why the word strategy worked its way into my tagline. Because the book isn't really about content marketing strategy, but it does present a strategy that you can use to make creating content easier. So what else do we need to be looking for in terms of weaving those keyword phrases into our book?
Well, another important area to put them in is your book description. That does help with getting Amazon to place your book where it needs to be. But a really important part, remember we said there's 2 parts to this, right? There's the getting the Amazon algorithm to accept your book and then to prove that it should be ranking higher. In the second part, your book description plays an important role in this because your book description is going to be that conversion metric, right? People were interested, they clicked on your link, they're going to read your book description to decide if they want to buy it. So using key phrases inside of your book description helps to find the right customer and get them to click buy. So what is that? Well, it's using the phrases they would use when they're struggling with content marketing. You know, if the pain point is how to come up with content when you can't think of what you should write, you know, then boom, there you go. That should be one of the top things that you have up there. So the person that gets there is like, whoa, this is exactly what I was looking for. Sweet, this book's going to help me address this pain point. So again, it's not just trying to get your book in front. It's also to find ways to convert your book better. And when you convert it better, Amazon's like, hey, this makes me more money. Let's increase its rankings. Let's show it to more people and see how much more money we can both make.
Interesting. Yeah. And that does, the motivation is very different than maybe Google's motivation, right? Because Amazon really just wants to move product.
Exactly. And if your book is proving to them that it moves product and that when people type in a certain search phrase, they then buy your book over others, you will rank number one, even if your title, subtitle doesn't have that word inside of it.
Awesome. Okay.
So Dave, you and I were talking about this. I thought this was really interesting. I don't know if you made this connection, Pamela. I didn't until Dave said this. I was just thinking kind of it like Google, like you need to use the right keywords to get, you know, to it to appear enough times and appease the, you know, wonderful, glorious, you know, Amazon spiders. What is it called? A19. Guys, I'm so prophetic. A19 is the next version. They're just They're just going to add 10 to it really quick. So if you have a tribe or if you have, you know, 100 friends who want to buy the book, you've got some group of people, email list, as Pamela does, or just, you know, a community of people that will go buy the book whenever you tell them to go buy it on Amazon, you can leverage that. Correct me if I'm wrong, you can leverage that to improve your ranking because, as you said, it's not just looking at the words on the page, it's looking at the buyer activity, right?
Absolutely. That's a really key part right there. A lot of authors will make the mistake of just sending the Amazon link to their followers and say, hey, click here and buy the book, right? Well, that doesn't exactly tell Amazon anything about marketing pattern of your people. They just clicked the link and bought it. However, though, if you have people that you know will just take an extra step, like Jeff just said, the tribe, right? Instead of sending them a link, just tell them, you know, in this case, we're looking at content marketing or content marketing strategy. Just tell your followers, hey, guys, just go to Amazon, type in content marketing strategy and find my book there. You know, and these are the people you know will take that extra step. They'll go there, they'll type it in, and then they'll scroll down until they find it, and then they'll click and buy it. And Amazon's like, whoa, you know, hey, this book is really, you know, moving.
So you're asking them to go in and vote for your book, basically, to search for it and then upload it. Yeah, I love it.
Exactly. You know what people out there that are saying it's kind of like gaming the system, here's why it's not. Because if your book truly deserves to rank and sell for that term, then when Amazon brings you to number one, if nobody is clicking on your book, they're clicking on others, you'll drop.
Right.
It really does come down to having, you know, the good book cover, the good title, the description that converts. And again, it's a self-correcting system. It will drop you if you did it.
Right. It's like, you know, when you recommend someone for a job, you might be able to help them get the interview, but once they're in the door, they need to sell themselves, right? So
right. Perfect.
But it's funny because you can tell Jeff and I are both like, ooh, that's all you that's so awesome. It's such a great idea and such a simple thing that I would not have known. I would have been just sending out the Amazon link.
And, you know, I did this with Carol Tice of Make a Living Writing for an extremely competitive term. And it only took 20 people, you know, on her tribe list. And sure enough, she's ranking number one. And she was able to stay there for a good while. I think she's still there, actually. So,
that's awesome. You know,
it's just that like super pumped up juice to get you there. So long as everything else is good, you'll be able to stay there and enjoy an organic source of traffic.
Yeah, that's great.
I think like if you're doing a book launch, it'd be cool to like reward people, you know, for doing that. Like, hey, you know, I'm going to give away a whatever, you know, such and such widget to the first 100 people who do this. And then they just like send you the screenshot of, okay, here I am at Amazon going and searching this and then, you know, buying it. And they get some sort of special bonus. And you could even, you know, limit the amount of those that you do it so that the first few people who are going to be your core members of your tribe anyway, like your fast action takers, they go do it. They get some sort of special bonus, you know, at the beginning of your book launch. I love that idea and I'd love to reward people who are going to go through that much trouble to get your book and, you know, frankly, help you out. And I think you can just be totally transparent and say, here's why I'm doing this. I want more people to find this book. And I know that you have already found it and care about it. So here's one way that you can help me. And I'd like to, you know, reward you for helping me with that.
I love it. I'm already thinking about what That's I'll fun. Give away. So yeah, such a smart idea. Yeah. All right, Dave. So I sent you the title, the proposed title and tagline for my upcoming book. And then I also sent you the table of contents. And I know that you ran them through your system. So I'm wondering if you'd be willing to get kind of granular and give me some advice.
Absolutely. But before we jump into that, I just wanted to reiterate that there are four things that doing this kind of research can really help you with. Not just getting your book out there and getting more sales. I mean, that's good too, of course.
Right.
But, you know, so there is the making it show up to the right people on Amazon. But a second thing too is, like we've kind of hinted at, is that we'll find the right words that people are using, which helps to create better titles and subtitles that connect with people and get higher conversion rates. And remember, conversion rates are really the most important part to ranking better. And the third thing too is that, like you just kind of mentioned, is that these, when you're doing these searches, you may find new things that you should write about. You may find that there's a topic you would have totally have just disregarded, you skipped over, or just never even knew existed. And it can really give you some juicy content that you know that your target market is going to look for. A table of content is really important because if I'm trying to learn, in this case, content marketing, I'm going to quickly go to your table of content and skim through it and say, you know, is this going to address exactly what I want? It's kind of like an article, right? When we write on our blog, people are going to skim the article first to make sure it's going to cover what they're interested in. And if the answer is yes, they'll dive in. So this process, again, helps with that. And finally, too, one of my favorites is using this to help find the perfect content upgrade. You know, if you're looking to send people to sign up for your email list, what is it that they really want? What is a product that I can deliver? And you'd be surprised how many times you'll find something that will really click with your target market and make them act immediately while reading your book.
And that is such a big goal right now, is to get people out of your book and onto your website, where hopefully they become a member of your audience and you can let them know about the next book that comes out or a product they might be interested in. It's, you know, I think that's one of the things that people who've done a lot of online content marketing are always concerned about, like, what do I do to get that person's nose out of a book and onto my website? So content upgrades do that.
Yes, they're wonderful tools. But the key is making sure that instead of just guessing at what people will want, using the analytics like we're about to discuss, you'll find that there is something that they really want. So that's why I'm a huge fan of this research, is I don't have to guess anymore. I don't have to come up with it on my own. I can just use what they've already provided in like Google and Amazon to create something that gets them to act.
All right. So let's get granular. And I'm hoping that at the same time, you can let us know how you do this kind of research. And I know you have a solution. We'll talk about it at the end. I know you have a solution that will make all of this easy. So, but let's get granular with the stuff that I sent you.
Absolutely. So the main word is content marketing, right? Mm-hmm. That's truly what you're about. But at the same time, when looking at it, there's a lot of competitors. It's a very competitive term.
Yes.
There's a lot of successful authors with very large names that have been a part of that very broad term. So what we're going to look at is we're going to look at other things that people are typing in, better opportunities, especially to get your foot in the door so that you can naturally be sitting at the top of the big dog content marketing. And I chuckled a little bit ago when you had said content marketing strategy, because the truth is I think that is the best keyword out there. Right now, it gets 4,400 searches per month on Google. It also gets 1,800 searches on Amazon per month as well. Now, there are a lot of competitors, about 1,100 books that rank for it. But the competition, based off of people using the keywords and the title, subtitle, the amount of reviews and things, it's actually much lower than the big dog of content marketing. So you have an easier ability to rank better, to rank number one, and it makes just about the same amount of money as the word content marketing does on Amazon. So I think that you're dead on when you said that content marketing strategy is a good term to go after. But we did a little bit more digging, mm-hmm. and we also found that content marketing plan is a big one. And content marketing, online content marketing is another one. So just those two together increase your reach by 1,000.
Oh, wow.
That's interesting. So,
you know, those are, now some people out there may be saying, well, strategy, plan, kind of the same thing. You know, let's not keyword stuff. 100% agree with them. But, you know, you have a title and you have a subtitle. So if your title was content marketing strategy, you know, or methods, plans, templates for building content that drive sales or something like that, right? That's a really good subtitle because it includes different ways that people would type it in naturally. And it also gives a benefit at the end. You know, by reading this and following this strategy plan guideline, I will get blah. What is blah? You know, and if it's more readers, if it's a better tribe or a larger tribe, you know, right there, you've spelled it out for the person.
So here, so there's this part of me that's going, okay, but the only problem is that I know what content marketing strategy is, and that's not what I'm teaching in my book. I'm not really teaching content marketing strategy. I'm really teaching people how to craft a piece of content. Content marketing strategy is a, maybe that'll be my next book, but it's a much broader field and it's a slightly more advanced topic than the topic I'm writing about in this book. This book is for people who want to learn how to write content, who have almost no writing experience and feel and lack a lot of confidence around the writing process. So it's sort of to help them with that. So that's where, you know, I kind of put strategy into the tagline because I really don't want to mislead people. You know, I'd love to get the sales, but I don't want to sell them a book that's not about what they think it's about. So I'll have to figure that out, I guess. You know, take these recommendations and figure out a way that I can still hopefully rank for the words, but I, you know, express what is actually in the book that I'm encouraging them to buy.
That is a great point. And one of the things that I usually mention to any of the people I'm working with is that your title should be about 95% all about, you know, something creative that's, you know, that drives interest and makes someone stop and say, oh, what's that? I usually say 95% of your subtitle should be explaining exactly what your book is about and incorporating the keywords, you know, that your target market is. You know, a ho-hum title of content marketing strategy. You know, I know you're a awesome writer, so.
No, well, thank you. No, the funny thing is we did a lot of extensive testing. I mean, I'm saying it was mostly me, but Jeff recommended I use this service, so you know, I went through all this different testing and these very creative titles, and I ended up with this title that was the most boring of all the titles, but everyone loved it because it said what it was. And the titles that were a little bit more clever, people rejected them. I mean, like really disliked them.
Yeah, if the title, now, did that come with the subtitle as well, or was it just the title by itself?
I ended up making my way to that subtitle over time. So, for example, the phrase blank page blues was something that people really responded to. But majority of the book is not. So, like, one of the titles I tested was Cure the Blank Page Blues. But that's not what the entire book is about. I mean, there are suggestions for that as part of the book, but that's not really the topic. I could do that as some of my some of the upgrade material that I give to people, for example, give them post ideas and things like that. But it's not really a book about blog post ideas. So I moved that concept into the tagline as like one of the things you'll find in this book, but it's not the topic of the whole book.
And that's okay. Just because you don't have the particular keyword in the title or subtitle does not mean your book will or won't show up. It's as a matter of fact, you know, quickly looking at the top three books that rank for just content marketing, one of the three doesn't even have content marketing anywhere in the title and or subtitle. So it's not like it has to be in there. But I will say that particular book though was done by a writer who was everywhere on podcasts and talking. So that person drove a lot of interest to it. And therefore, and like I said, it's all about proving to Amazon what makes them more money. So since this book had a lot of external traffic going to it, it really pumped it up to the point that it now sits right up there next to the ones that really were geared towards that keyword.
Interesting. Okay. So do you have a suggestion for something that does definitely need to change in my... So let me just go ahead and for people who haven't heard it. So the title that I'm working with right now is Master Content Marketing. And then the tagline is A Simple Strategy to Cure the Blank Page Blues and Attract a Profitable Audience. So I want to know, is there something there that really needs to change?
Well, I don't want to change anything that would ultimately change the skin or flavor of your writing. So that'll be kind of what I normally like to do is I'll do the research and find, hey, here are some of the words that get a little bit more reach that I think might. But, you know, like when I was working with Pat Flynn, I actually went and proved to Pat, Pat, you'll get 50 more people per month if you were to change the word, you know, test your idea to validate your idea. Turns out people use the word validate more than test, I guess.
I would not have thought that. That's so funny. And it's always so funny how results from this stuff tend to be so counterintuitive. It's like, really?
I know. And it's, and you know, it kind of makes sense when you think about it. I felt as though the word really fit more into what his book, Will It Fly, represented. But again, you know, he is an artist. He is a writer. I'm not here to change that and say, hey, you know, this bland word will make you more money, because Pat's Pat. Pat wanted a book that connected, and he felt as though test was a better word than validate. And so he went with that. And I was like, hey, cool. That doesn't mean he didn't put that as one of his seven keywords.
I was just going to say, I'm sure it was in his keywords. I'm sure it was in his description. So I'm sure the advice didn't go to waste, you know.
Exactly. But this is just to highlight that you don't have to change your title or subtitle to make it. It's just understanding that if you don't have it in your title or subtitle or your description, then at least make it in one of your seven Kindle keywords, or at least put it in the description, kind of those things. You don't have to do it all.
And then this was something that was news to me. Jeff said that the way you structure your table of contents and the words that you use in your table of contents will help your search results. Can you talk a little bit about that?
So Amazon's A9 algorithm crawls, like we said, the title, subtitle, and description. It also goes through and crawls your book as well, because, you know, it just wants to make sure that you're not gaming the system and putting in all these crazy words so that you show up everywhere, but your book's not about it at all. So one thing I've noticed, though, is that not only is it that if you have it in the book itself, but also if you see inside, you know, where you can look inside, right? If you click the book, you get those first couple of pages. Those have the heaviest weight. And most of the time inside of that is your table of contents. So I try to tell people that, you know, having it in your table of contents really helps out. But more importantly, though, a lot of people go and look at that and they use the table of content to figure out whether or not this book will deliver on what it promises or will be what they're looking for. So it has two effects. It gets you, you know, listed initially for said word, and it also helps with your conversions. So I think the table of content is a very important area.
Interesting. So it's a matter of knowing what those search terms are and then weaving them into your table of contents listing.
Right, or just making sure that the chapter headings connect with your readers, your potential market better.
Okay, so almost writing your chapter headings like they're headlines.
Exactly, or mini titles.
Mini book titles, nice. So your table of contents counts and the words that you use in there count. And I'm wondering, I did send my whole table of contents over to you, and I'm just wondering if anything jumped out at you when you looked it over.
It's really hard for me to kind of talk about it without having read the book, but I'll tell you this, it does look really good, by the way.
Oh, good.
But the first chapter, I was kind of curious as to why it was just kind of the plain why content. I feel as though if I've gone to Amazon and I've typed in content marketing, then I already know the importance of content.
That's a great point. Yeah.
So it almost feels like the first chapter is going to be kind of a fluffy filler. That sounds terrible to say. I don't mean it to be critical.
No, no. I'd rather hear it now than later. So yeah, you're right. And I spent more time and effort developing the titles of the other chapters. And why content, now that I'm thinking about it, it was kind of a placeholder, and I just don't think I ever went back and worked on it. So I'd be happy to put something more compelling on that chapter, because it is, it's a really important first chapter. It's not fluffy at all, actually.
And that's what I figured. That's why I was kind of surprising that it was just those two tiny words. And, you know, I feel as though many authors kind of skip over that first chapter. Some people even just call it introduction. And, you know, just like with an article, right? The first thing, like I said, people will look at your table of contents. The first thing they always see is chapter one. So I really work hard to make sure my chapter one is something that catches them by surprise. You know, it could be this really unique story title that's like, wait, what, why would they be talking about such and such for this? You know, I really like to hook them with that first one. So with that said, there are a couple of things that people are typing in. Some of the more basic, which is what is content marketing or content marketing examples, content marketing trends. There wasn't anything in particular that said, this should be the first chapter. Again, I think that the best thing would be to come up with a chapter title that hooks them, just like you would with a new article title that you want to get people to click through to.
Right. I love that. And that's very easy to do. That's an easy fix. So thank you.
And the second thing too is like looking at, you know, 2, 3, 4, and 5, I thought you did a great job with them, because a lot of times the chapter titles have the benefit of that chapter as well as telling me what it's actually about. So I think you knocked that out of the park.
Oh, good. That's all my headline writing, all my years of writing headlines. Because that's, I mean, with the exception of chapter one, which, like I said, I just never went back and rewrote, but all the others are kind of written as headlines. So good.
And the only thing I might add is that potentially, I don't know if you want to add more chapters to it, but there did seem to be a lot of focus on tools, websites, and software. Those were terms that people typed in a lot, content marketing tools, content marketing blogs, those sort of words. So I don't know if maybe that would be a great like resources at the end. You know, here are some of the top places to go to. Don't forget to download, you know, my examples or templates, those kind of things. I think that might be a really nice anchor at the point to really drive a call to action and to make sure that you've truly given people more to develop on, you know, as they finish your book.
It's interesting because I have this, the very last appendix in the book is keep learning, what to read next, where to learn more. But what I can do is very easily just rewrite that appendix title and incorporate the words, because I do in that section, I talk about tools, I talk about websites, and I talk about software. So I'll just incorporate those words there.
I think that would be perfect.
Awesome. Easy enough. Anything else that jumped out?
Another thing while doing this research, I found that there are two things you might want to think about offering as a email opt-in. And the first was content marketing examples and case studies. 1,900 people per month type in content marketing examples into Google. People are looking for things that help them see how it should be, you know, laid out, how others have done it, you know, the pros and the mistakes and things like that. I think it would be a natural thing inside of your writing, inside of your chapter, saying, you know, at the end of one of the chapters, if you'd like to check out my super awesome case study on, you know, insert a name of something they'd recognize, go ahead and click here and check it out. Or, you know, if you'd like some more examples of blah, 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 click here and download my such and such. I think that'd be a really natural thing.
But I need to use the words content marketing examples, right, to get the whole phrase?
No, using something we'll talk about later, I found that there aren't that many people on Amazon typing content marketing examples. So it's not really a good thing to try to target on Amazon. It's not very beneficial. But knowing that people are typing that into Google told me that it is a pain point that people are looking for. It's something that people would love to see. They're just not doing that on Amazon.
So. Interesting. Okay, that's great. All right, what else do I need to do here then?
And finally, I think the biggest thing that a lot of people are searching for is a template. So in this case, content marketing strategy template had over 400 searches per month, and just content marketing template had another 110.
That's on Amazon or on Google?
That's on Google.
Okay.
On Amazon for content marketing template, there's about 75 to 80 people per month typing that in. So that's not a bad thing to target. I would definitely put that in my book description, you know, free content marketing template to help you, you know, through steps A to Z.
It's so interesting because I have dreamed all along that this book would become a piece of software that would basically be a content marketing template. So that's very exciting to hear. And I will be talking to some people who might be interested to know that. So thank you for that information.
No problem. And just the way that I'd probably lay that out is I would do the content marketing strategy template, you know, kind of at the beginning and end of the book. Offer it as, hey, you know, use this resource as you go through the book. Just check it out here. And then when you find opportunities in the content itself, I think that's when you should talk about like the content marketing examples and case studies to improve upon. One strategy that I've seen a lot that works out really well too is that, you know, if you're talking about some kind of picture or, you know, graph or so, you know, tell them to click here to check it out. But I think those things right there will really drive more people who go from reading your book to actually signing up for your emails. And that's, you know, repeat customers in the future.
Exactly. Yeah, because I'm really hoping that this is the first book of a series. So I would love to start building that audience of readers now and getting them that all important leap of getting them from your book over to your website is a really crucial piece of this whole process. So that's super helpful.
And now you don't have to guess at it. Luckily, there's a lot of great information out there that tells you what really people want.
I know. So like if people don't know someone like Jeff who can connect them with someone like Dave, I want to know what we can recommend to people because I know you have actually developed something that does a lot of this research for them.
Yeah, my team and I, we just created this software called KDP Rocket. It works on both Mac and PC. And what it does is it goes through both Google and Amazon and gives you suggestions for good book ideas. It tells you how much money those ideas are making on average, how many people type in that book idea into Google and Amazon, which, you know, is really crazy to be able to say that 800 people a month type this into Amazon. I mean, wow, there's a market for it. And ultimately, it also creates a competitor score. So we have a number 1 to 99 that will help you to figure out which idea is harder to rank for or which one's too hard so that you don't have to be this, you know, marketing person to be able to take a quick glance at books and be like, ah, yeah, too hard. Better not do that. So better not make that mistake.
And an author can have this information before they even start writing.
Yes. And I think that is huge because, you know, a lot of authors will go out there and they'll be like, I have this book on my heart. Great. How are you going to market it? Well, you know, I figured I would just throw it out there. Let's go ahead and validate that idea. And so that's one of the things I love about KDP Rocket is before I write a book, I validate that there is a market that wants to buy it, that people are willing to pay for it, and that I can beat the competition that's out there. And it nails all three of those things with the click of a button.
That is amazing. Okay, so I know people are wondering where they can find it, how many tens of thousands of dollars this tool costs. So give us those details because I want to make sure people can access this.
Sure. You can find it at kdprocket.com. And I'm a huge anti-subscription person. So we made it just a one-time fee of $67. That's it.
Oh my gosh. I'm getting people out my checkbook. Hold on. My credit card.
I really would prefer people be able to access it. I think there are just all these, you know, crazy $32 a month. Look, this is book writing. We're not writing a book a month. I don't need like subscription. Ugh.
Yeah.
So one-time fee, straight up. And that includes all updates. So I'm not going to say, oh, hey, by the way, we've got version 2.0. Pay me another money.
Yeah, pay me 67 again. That's awesome. And that's very reasonable. And I mean, you have not said, but I'm thinking that over time, that price may end up going up because you're just now launching it. So if you're listening to this and you still see it at 67, I would grab it because that is quite the deal.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. I keep trying to push that off, but my team tells me I'm being ridiculous.
That's great. That's awesome. Dave, thank you so much. And Jeff, thank you for connecting me with Dave. This is fantastic.
Yeah, no, I loved it. Thanks, Dave. Thanks, Pamela. I thought this was great. I learned a lot as well, and I'm psyched. I mean, I just think what you said, Dave, about you don't have to guess anymore. And it doesn't mean like you've got to like be a robot now. Like you can still write the book in the words that you want to write it with, but you can be more informed about how people are going to react to these ideas and help those ideas spread further.
Yeah,
exactly.
And Dave, I also want to thank you for your service to our country. I really appreciate that. And I hope that you will let me know when you're back in Nashville so I can meet you in person. This is a phone call. You're over on the other side of the world right now, but hopefully we can meet in person sometime soon.
That'll be great.
Awesome. Well, thank you again to everyone who's listened. If you liked this episode, leave us a review on iTunes. We love hearing from you. And thank you, Dave and Jeff, both for being here.
Thanks.
Hey, thank you so much. It was a real honor.